Together this evening. Good to see everyone out this evening. I know we, our family's here all week, and this is what we're here for, but you guys have your normal lives. You go to work, and you've got stuff going on, so I always appreciate seeing people coming out and that see that we have one common goal, and that's to worship the Lord Jesus Christ this evening. Sing a few songs with us. We'll sing Put on the Garment of Praise, Years I Spent in Vanity and Pride, and then How Deep the Father's Love. Don't know if we have words this evening. If not, oh, we do. Cool. So sing right along. Feel free to join in.
Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Lift up your voice to God. Praise with the spirit and with understanding. Oh, magnify the Lord. All ye that mourn in Zion, I have authority to appoint unto you in Zion. What a joy that will set you free. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Lift up your voice to God. Praise with the spirit and with understanding. Oh, magnify the Lord. Lift up the hands that hang down. Lift up your voice now, sing unto God continuous praises. Sing, put on the garments of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Lift up your voice to God. With the spirit and with understanding, oh, magnify the Lord. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing that it was for me he died on Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden so found liberty at Calvary. By God's word at last my sin I heard. Then I trembled at the law. Till my guilty soul imploring turned to Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden so found liberty at Calvary. The love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did spread at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to there my burdens were found liberty at Calvary.
Let's go to C.
How deep the Father's love for us. Beyond all measure, that he should give his only son. such is treasure. How great the pain of searing loss. The Father turns his face away as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon the cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything. No gifts, no power, no wisdom. But from his reward, I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom.
Why should
I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom.
Amen. You all may be seated. We'll do a few more before Dad comes and shares. Thank you so much for joining in. This song talks about that we are turning to the light. Hope that's good for all of us.
Like a seed in the clay, when the sun's first golden ray marks the breaking of the day, I am turning to the light. I am turning to the light. I am reaching toward the sun. I have journeyed through the night, and the battle now is won. There's a new song in my heart. There's a new day dawning bright. Oh, I'm turning to the light. Not so bad. The snow with no sign of spring inside. Now I'm turning to the light. I am turning to the light. I am reaching toward the sun. I have journeyed through the night, and the battle now is won. There's a new song in my heart. There's a new day dawning bright. Oh, I'm turning like a robin in the spring, when the dew kisses me, I will raise my voice and sing. I'm turning to the light.
I have journeyed through the night, and the battle now is won. There's a new song in my heart, there's a new day dawning bright. Oh, I'm turning to the light. There's a new song in my heart, there's a new day dawning bright. Oh, I'm turning to the light. Oh, I'm turning to the
Amen. Behold our God. Let's adore Him. Let's bow before Him. Let's pray. God, we thank You tonight that we, miserable, wretched human beings, can have the opportunity to become Your children, to come into Your presence, to worship, to adore, to receive Your forgiveness, to experience Your blessings and grace. Oh God, we thank You. We thank You, Lord, for the way that You've already poured into our hearts. And we pray again tonight, Lord, that Your Spirit just move. Bless Brother Dave. Anoint his lips to speak Your truth, dear God. Open our hearts to receive and to hear and to understand and to make it our own. Lord, we just thank You. We bless Your name. And we look to You tonight, O God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Church said amen. Let it be so. It's one of the definitions of the word amen. Another one is yes. Somebody handed me that verse in 2 Corinthians, I believe it is, the other night after some of the yeses, and a certain translation actually uses that very word referring to amen. And thank you, brother, for sharing that with me. Thank you again so much for coming tonight. And I have been very blessed in what I sense in my own heart that is going on here, and many of you as well. And I'm grateful for God's Spirit that continues to work in all of our hearts together. I want to, on the onset, say, you know, on those of you who were here on Sunday morning, gave a little description about the, you know, the altar being a friendly place, not a place to be scared of. It's okay to come to an altar. It's a blessing. I'm glad that this altar is not the only place that you can meet God, but it's one of the places that you can meet God. And realizing that in a week like this, where you know, when you give altar calls and God's Spirit is speaking to our hearts and asking us to respond to that prompting, and realizing that there's a lot of things happening at one time. There's a lot of people around. There's you may hear others praying and somewhat maybe distractions from time to time. And I realize that only so much can happen during an invitation time, during a ministry time. It's one of the, I know for me, one of the most, what's the word I want to use, important, or where I try to so discern what is going on, because this is a work of the Holy Spirit does the ministry. The Holy Spirit is the one that meets us. The Holy Spirit is the one that brings, you know, the revelation, the conviction, the courage to repent and or encourage. Whatever the need is, the Holy Spirit is there. So I try to not intervene that and discern what is going on, what is happening, what's going on in that person's heart, what's going on in that person's heart. You know, and there's different times where I remember a time at a prison, in fact, not long ago, where there was a during the invitation, there was one inmate, I'll never forget it. He was right there. It was about twice as wide up front as what this is, but he was right there from the center of the stage, and somehow God had that day just touched him in such a marvelous way. In all the years of prison ministry, I don't ever remember hearing a man. Women, it's very common to hear weeping and crying and sobbing and all of that in prison. That's very common. But in a men's prison, I don't know that I had ever heard a man weep in such a way that I did that day. God had so touched him and had so broken his heart, and he was just there, hands in his face, and just weeping. I mean, the whole chapel, it was a room this big or even bigger. The whole chapel heard it. God was working in his heart. And I remember seeing one of the volunteers, and I was like, okay, what, Lord, what do I do with this? Because this kept going. You know, it wasn't just for 10 seconds. It kept going, and others were responding, and I was like, Lord, how do I handle this? And about that time, I saw one of the volunteers, was actually a pastor, that started walking toward this man, and immediately God just spoke to me and said, you know, just let him be. Just let him be. He needs his time. He does not need anyone to come to him right now. And about that time, I saw the volunteer come walking toward him, and I started going toward the volunteer. I was going to stop him. And the volunteer was not watching me, but before I got to him, the volunteer stopped and just backed away. I thought, wow. Later I told him, did you sense he needed to? Yep, that's exactly what God spoke to my heart. I was like, what an affirmation. What an affirmation. Another time in prison, these are just coming to me right now in fact, the children, they concluded the song, what they just sang, Behold Our God. I was in the back of the soundboard, the Lord just touched, I was weeping, I was just broken. And I walk up front and I couldn't preach. I just stood here and cried in front of 100 men in prison. I couldn't preach. I was broken because the Lord had touched my heart. And finally, I was like, okay, Lord, what do I do? I sense God saying, give the invitation. I hadn't even preached yet. We give an invitation and without preaching. But God's Spirit was working, and I began to pray. And just as I was standing here, just had my eyes closed and was just in prayer and just a few words at a time and in between tears and all the emotions that were going on. And all of a sudden, just out of the blue, and there was a piano in the prison chapel. And all of a sudden the piano starts playing. And I look over and there was an inmate sitting at the piano, just playing real soft. And I was like, oh dear Jesus, that's all I need. And gave the invitation. People flocked to the altar. Invitation was given, ministry time happened, and I still had 20 minutes to preach afterwards. I found out that day it's okay to preach after an invitation. But I'm saying all that to say, trying to be sensitive to what? Afterwards, this dear brother, inmate, came up to me and he says, Brother, I hope that I did not step out of my boundaries. And I looked at that man, I said, Brother, you did anything but that. He said, I could tell where you at. Yeah, you can tell by that what color he was. And I mean that in a good way. I love black people. I'm not... Yeah, anyway, that's a whole other story. And I... Yeah. But he said, man, I could tell what was going on in your heart. And God just prompted me. Go play piano. I said, brother, God used you to confirm what was going on in my heart. Wonderful time when the Spirit of God is at work. So saying all that to say, during invitation, I try to be so sensitive to what is happening and going on, and really all of the service, but especially during that time. What is God doing, and what does God want to do in the hearts of people? But realizing that there's only so much time, there's only so much that can happen. If God leads you to respond, and you do not feel that you are finished, that you have prayed through, that you have come to freedom, complete freedom, by all means, don't leave like that. Even though we may sing a song or close the service and officially be dismissed or whatever the case may be, but if you sense in your heart that you need more time, you need somebody to just pray with you and help you work through things and the deeper things, by all means. In fact, the leadership team here has told me they are available. And they will sit with you. They will pray with you. One of them told me they're available till midnight. And I imagine longer if needed. But what a blessing. God bless you, leadership team, for this. And just so you know, that people are available to pray with you if you sense that God is leading you to continue praying through things. And because it's all about Him. It's all about Him and His life in us and bringing us to that place of complete freedom and victory and peace. And by His Spirit, it is possible for every individual to walk there. Yes. Yes. What a Savior. What a Savior. Amen. All right. Well, if you... Matthew chapter 27, verse 51. Start there tonight, if you will. Discerning after last night where to go, and it kind of seems like the Lord is directing me to this is really just ongoing from last night, I guess you could say, and yet coming from perhaps a little bit different angle. Tonight we want to put the plow down and plow into some things that are very dear to my heart, and I believe to many of you as well. There should actually be a question mark behind that phrase on the top of the screen. What's behind the veil? And the veil meaning the veil in the temple that ripped or that was rent from top to bottom the time that Jesus gave up the ghost. That's where we want to go tonight. To discover what is behind that veil, what does it look like, what should it look like, and what does it mean for us today. Let's read in this passage. Let's see. This is where Jesus was right before He died. You know, He cried out in verse 46, my God, why hast Thou forsaken Me? And He goes on down in verse 50. Jesus, when He cried again with a loud voice, He yielded up the ghost. And then we come up to verse 51. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks did rent. So we have a scripture, and we have a reading, something that happened in history. That was an incredible moment. It was an incredible moment. And we want to see tonight what is behind that veil, where I find in many people's lives, there are many Christians today who are really scared to discover what is behind the veil, or to go there, or to let God take them there. And tonight we want to put our roots very deep, because if we are not willing to let God take us into His presence behind the veil, it produces a shallow Christianity, if there is such a thing. And this is where many are walking in the church today, just kind of a shallow Christianity. In other words, let's not go so deep to where we have to completely let go of things. And we'll see maybe why that is. Let's talk a little bit about growing in Second Peter chapter 3 verse 18. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Yes. Amen. So we are instructed to grow, to put our, and I'm going here very briefly tonight about growing and putting our root system deep, and in order to explain better how that happens behind the veil. Now, when we talk about growing, the definition of the word grow, of a living thing undergo natural development by increasing in size and changing physically, progress to maturity, becoming larger or greater over a period of time. So in order for something to grow, there's got to be a root. So we got to have the beginning that is called salvation. That is where you and I began our relationship with the Almighty. That moment when Jesus comes in. I'm alarmed today. How many are in the church who are not really sure whether they're saved or not, whether they're born again or not? If you're not sure, make sure tonight that the root system has begun in Jesus Christ. Remember in the Midwest, probably 10 years ago, night after night, the Lord just, the moment I start preaching, the Lord just emphasized, encouraged the people, make sure that you know, that you know, that you know, without a shadow of a doubt, if you would die tonight, that you'd go to heaven. Make sure. after the meeting, we were driving, traveling, and a brother called me. He says, I don't know if I'm saved or not. I don't have the assurance. You kept emphasizing this. I don't know if I'm saved or not. And my heart went out to the brother. I said, I can't answer that for you either. However, can you go to a place or a time or a time frame or something where you can go back to where you know that you sent, this is where God met you. This is where, and I'm not one to say, man, you got to say these words and you got to say the exact right thing and you got to be at the exact right place and all of that. I'm not one of those. I believe that God understands our heart. I shared a little bit about this the other morning, I believe, or one night maybe. But God understands our heart. He knows our heart. When our heart attitude is in the place of complete yieldedness to Him and surrender, and we come to that place where we just say, Lord, I'm done living my life. I'm trusting You. Whatever words You use, your heart is at that place. God can meet you there. Can you go to a place, a time frame where this took place, where this route began for you? He says, well, not really. Not really. I says, well, it's this simple. If you're not sure, why wouldn't we just settle it right now and make sure? And just make sure. Right now that we just settle it and you can make this day, this time, you can make it your time where you gave your life to Christ. Why don't we just settle it now? And I left it at that. I didn't pressure him. I said, except the Spirit draw him. I just shared that with him. Just don't go on. Because lack of assurance of salvation, we're not very effective in the kingdom of God. Because we're not sure who we're serving. We're not sure who we belong to. And so I encourage us, let's make sure if we're not sure. So the definition of the word root, the part of a plant that attaches it to the ground or to a support, typically underground, conveying water and nourishment to the rest of the plant via numerous branches and fibers. Now, I have a few pictures here of some beautiful palm trees. About 2 years ago or 2.5 years ago or so, I was praying. I've prayed since then too, but I was driving home from Florida. It was on New Year's Day. I was driving home from Florida after some functions down there, and I was to preach at the home church that Sunday, and this was on a Friday or so. And I remember praying. I had no direction for a message. I had nothing. I was just like, Lord, I don't know where You want to take me. I don't know where You want to take the congregation this year. And I don't know how You do it here, but probably Your pastors, they on New Year's or around New Year's, they do something about the upcoming year or talk about the past year or coming from the old to the new, whichever way. Now remember thinking, Lord, what would be that word? What would be that message that You would want our congregation at home just to be encouraged in? And I was praying, driving Interstate 75, along Interstate 75 there and going north. And all of a sudden as I was driving, I noticed a whole row of palm trees on the right side of the interstate. And I looked at them, and of course it's not uncommon to see palm trees down there, and it wasn't a cluster like this. I found these later online then. But as I saw those palm trees, there was a whole row, probably a quarter to half mile. Could have been 50 of them or more. And every so many feet, there was another one. Just beautiful. And I looked at those palm trees. I kept looking over and then driving, looking over and driving. And all of a sudden, I noticed something. The Lord began to speak to me about these palm trees. I said, Lord, what do You want me to see? Then there was something that stood out to me on those palm trees. What is as beautiful? Palm trees, they kind of make a statement, don't they? They're kind of stately. They're kind of, in a man's term, kind of handsome, like some men are. And I won't mention names or anything, but they just make a statement. And I love. Now, what is in this picture that would look so much better if it wasn't there? Yeah, isn't it these little, whatever they are, 2x4s, but We can call them props. And that day, every one of those trees along that interstate had these ugly props. Even though the trees were about that tall, but you could tell that they were newly planted or freshly planted. But every one of them had those props. And All of a sudden, I began to hear the voice of God saying and picturing these palm trees as individuals in the church that are surrounded with all these props, things we depend on to hold us up. And we know the reason that those props are there. It's because the root system has not went deep enough yet so that they can stand tall. That's why the props are there. I don't know how long the props need to be there. I didn't do a study on palm tree, but for quite some time. But that day the revelation was so many believers in the church, we stand there, we may look good and we may look right, but we're depending on all these props, all these things to hold us up because our root system is not deep enough. And it's because we're not letting God take us behind the veil. We're just satisfied on the outside. And I'll get into more of that a little bit later. When we look at these palm trees, there again you have, and honestly don't try to figure out whose house that is. I have no idea whose house that is. It's just one that I found online. But there again, you have this beautiful Florida house and you have these beautiful tall palm trees. But again, you have those ugly props. Wouldn't it just look a lot better if it was something like that? Doesn't that look a lot better? There the root system is deep. There it's very deep, very mature, and the root system is deep. It has gotten a hold of the ground and that tree is able to stand. And that's where we want to go tonight. And that's what's going to happen when we allow the Lord to take us behind the veil. Oh, hallelujah. Behind the veil, no shallow Christianity will exist. Many people are not willing to let God take them there. In fact, they're scared to go there. About a year ago or so, maybe a little more, I lose track of time. Could have been a year and a half or two. We were having meetings at a church and it was one of those sets of meetings that, I don't know, it was tough. It was just very tough. From this standpoint, I think we started on a Wednesday night and went through Sunday night. And you know, the first night, and I didn't know the church very well. They didn't know me very well. We knew just a few people. We were referred by somebody else. And that's how they invited us to come. We heard this and so, could you come? And so we ended up there. So we didn't know each other very well. So the first night I just, as we were singing and preaching, and it was just like, I did not sense whether I'm coming through or not. It's different than, you know, your audience spoils us. Spoils us. But you just had no really sense whether you're coming through or not. Just kind of a hardness. And I was like, okay, well, the first night, I understand that. They're getting to know me, and maybe they're not used to this, you know, in-your-face type preaching, or maybe I should do something different, or I was wrestling with all these things, and finally, I was like, okay, I prayed through that, and then the next night rolled around, I thought, well, surely we'll sense a little something different, you know, this night, and the second night, same thing. Just like, sitting there like, what are you talking about, kind of thing, is what I felt. And so, and in fact, by the third night, I came out to the bus. I told the family, let's get out of here. I'm done. And the Lord dealt with my attitude on that, too. It's not the right attitude to have. But that's honestly how I felt. It's how I felt. Just like we're wasting our time. They don't even want to hear what we have to say or whatever. It's just like, that's what I was dealing with. And then God reminded me that even if you feel that way, are you as excited about me as you are otherwise? I said, yes, Lord, I hear you. I hear you. Give me grace. And it wasn't like they weren't responding at the altar. I don't gauge effectiveness by that anyway, but they were responding to the altar. It was just like, it was just what I sensed during the delivery. And finally, I thought, all right, Saturday night, gotta be the night. Gotta be the breakthrough night. Gotta be it. Still not. All right, Sunday morning. Lord, we got two more services. Sunday morning rolls around. Before the main part, we had Sunday school. I sat in a men's class, about 8 or 10 men sat in a circle. And the Sunday school teacher opened up and he said, "Hey, now," he said, "before we get into the lesson here this morning, I would just like to open it up for any of you men to share. What has God been speaking to you about this week?" Then it was like all ears here. I was like, "Man, I want to hear what God has been doing, because I sure didn't sense anything. I knew what He was doing in my heart." And just without any hesitation, a dear brother, in fact, a very influential man in the church, he just, one of the first things he said is, he says, "Brothers, I'm going to be very honest with you." And he kind of said it in that way. And I was, you know, my first thought, honestly, Lynn, was like, "Man, did I do something wrong? Like, is he going to say, boy, this guy shouldn't have been here?" Or, you know, I was wrestling with these thoughts. And he said it again. He said, I'm just going to be really honest with you." And we kept listening. And finally he said, "You know, messages like we've been hearing this week, getting into the presence of God and surrendering, and messages similar to this, even though, you know, you can repeat the same subject, even though different things come out. But messages about getting into the presence of God and welcoming His presence, welcoming the Holy Spirit in your life. And those kind of messages is what God was laying on my heart." And he said, and this was what he said. He said, "Messages what we've been hearing this week." He said, "I'm going to be really honest with you, man. I'm scared." That's what he said. My heart broke. My heart absolutely broke. I said, "Oh, wow, Lord. Now I know why I sense what I did. Now I know." And my heart broke. And God, and when I say this, I have absolutely no ill feeling toward them in any way, shape, or form. That's not the point. The point, God dealt with my heart in continuing being zealous and compassionate about the things of God, no matter what you sense from the audience. Because God still, through His Spirit, His Word will not return void. It will not. God used it to teach me a lot. My family, in fact, my family, bless their heart, they kept encouraging me. "No, Dad, you need to keep at it." You know, they kept encouraging me because it just takes the zap right out of you. You know, you go into some places and, man, you can't hardly be quiet because they draw it right out of you. But it shouldn't change how convinced and passionate I am about it. No matter what, God taught me a lesson through that. But my heart broke when he said that. And I thought later, and I trust God is continuing to do a work in their heart and in my heart. I don't hold it against them. It's just where they were. But after that, I thought, "All right, Lord, I wonder, the statement he made, I wonder how many does that represent in the church? I wonder." When it comes to letting the Holy Spirit take you behind the veil. Behind that veil is the very presence of God. And one of the reasons that we hesitate to let God take us there is it requires a stripping of the self-life. And many people do not want God to do that. What was the purpose of the veil? Go to Exodus chapter 26. And we'll see the purpose of the veil. Exodus chapter 26. And here's the purpose of this veil. "And thou shalt make a veil of blue and purple and scarlet." I'm in verse 31 of Exodus 26. "Purple and scarlet. Fine twined linen and cunning work with cherubims shall it be made. Thou shalt hang it upon four pillars of shittim wood overlaid with gold. Their hooks shall be of gold upon the four sockets of silver. Thou shalt hang up the veil under the taches, that thou mayest bring in thither within the veil the ark of the testimony." And here's the purpose of it. "And the veil shall divide unto you between the holy place and the most holy place." Now, I saw a picture of the temple back here on your wall here in the pastor's study. and kind of outlines the whole temple. I'm not an expert on the temple and description of all the different symbolic things. But according to this, where I want to go tonight, this veil was put there to separate the holy place or the outer courts from the most holy place. Prior to Jesus dying, only the priests were allowed behind the veil where the presence of God was. Now this day, when Jesus there hanging on the cross, He cried out, my God, why have You forsaken Me? He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God through Him. And then a few verses later, He gives up the ghost and He dies, and the power of God comes and rips that curtain from the very top to the very bottom. Now I understand that from a salvation standpoint. Up to this point, only the priests were allowed to go behind the veil. But this day, when Jesus died, that veil was ripped open and it gave whosoever will access right into the presence of God. I understand it from a salvation standpoint, but what about us today who've been walking with the Lord for 20 years, 30 years, 40 years or more? Does it mean anything for us today that that veil is still open? It means a whole lot. In fact, just as the power of God came and ripped that curtain from the very top to the very bottom and gave access to everyone when He died, He could have also come back and put it right back together, but He didn't. Today, that veil is still open, and many Christians are not willing to say, Lord, take me there. Because when we get into the Holy of Holies, right into the presence of God, it will revolutionize our thoughts. It'll renew our mind. It will change our way of thinking. It will make us more holy than we are now, because we are comparing ourselves to the holiness of God instead of with each other. Many of us, we become very comfortable. Can I say just sitting on the outer courts, or to really make it understandable, we enjoy sitting on the porch. We say that. We become satisfied just sitting on the porch, on the outside. On the porch, you know, you have a, if you have a porch at your house, say on a hot day like today or yesterday or the day before, maybe not so much tomorrow. But when you have a hot day at work, you're sweaty, you're dirty, you come home and you shower, you clean up, you sit on the porch if you have one. And there's a breeze blowing, and your wife, if you're married, she brings you a cold glass of water or lemonade or, better yet, Coke Zero. I mean, you know, hint, hint. But whatever your most refreshing drink is, and she brings it to you, you sit there, you kick your feet up, it's refreshing. We like to sit there. It feels good. And it has its place. It has its place. However, you're not just going to stay on the porch, are we? In fact, if we would just stay sitting on the porch, what would happen? We would dry up. We would... Somewhere along the line, you need more, or you gotta go for more, or something. You're not just gonna sit there. But in the spiritual sense, many of us, we become comfortable just sitting on the porch, and the Lord, through the Holy Spirit, wants to move us and shake us loose and take us right into the Holy of Holies. On the porch, we are still in charge of certain things. We still hang on to certain things. Somebody mistreats us on the porch, we come up with a plan how to get even. In the presence of God, we become broken. We pray for those who mistreat us, misuse us. On the porch, we come up with a plan. Well, they did me wrong. On the porch, we rationalize everything. We try to reason everything out. Well, they shouldn't have done that, and so therefore, I have the right for this. No, as a Christian, we don't have rights. We stand on the truth. That's our right. That's our defense. And so on the porch, you know, we come up with this plan. Well, they did this, so I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. And if they don't do that, I won't do this. And we rationalize, reason, everything. But in the presence of God, we fall on our knees and we say, oh God, do a deep work in my heart. Do a deep work in my heart. Lord, I can't handle this. I can't do this. I don't even know how to do this, Lord. I need help. I need your wisdom. That's where our will becomes broken. It's where our will becomes broken. What if we sit on the porch? It's where bitterness and anger and all of that rises up. Many of us are way too familiar with the porch life than entering into the presence of God. On the porch there's a form of godliness but denying the power. Ever learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. On the porch we can perform religious or right acts without surrender. Happens a lot. Go to Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6, and this is what happens behind the veil. Isaiah chapter 6, look what happened to Isaiah. In the year, verse 1, very familiar scripture. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. And without, I'm not going to read verse 2, verse 3. And one cried, or it's talking about the seraphims and the wings and all that. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried. And the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Isaiah said, woe is me! For I am undone because I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King. What was happening? Isaiah saw the Lord. He was in the presence of God. Was like, whoa, whoa, hold everything. Woe is me. I'm undone. His will became broken. He compared his life to the holiness of God. What happened behind the veil. On the porch, we compare ourselves among ourselves. The Bible says that's not wise. He saw the Lord. And the result of him comparing himself to the holiness of God was this. Woe is me. And then, verse 7, he laid it upon my mouth, the coal, the hot coal. And said, lo, this has touched thy lips, thine iniquity is taken away, thy sin purged. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who shall go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. Isn't it just a wonderful sequence? When we get into the presence of God, we compare our life to the holiness of God. And when that happens, we can't but just fall on our knees and say, oh God, I need you. Our will becomes broken and His will domineers our life. Therefore, we can't but just say, here am I. Here am I. Use me, Lord. Exactly what happened to Isaiah. On the porch, it's hard. God wants to pull us. God wants to call us. Well, I've literally had people tell me over the years, the reason I don't fully surrender is I'm afraid of what God would ask of me. That is not a good place to live. Not a good place to live. But God will shake us. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm going to look at another thing that happens on the porch. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's see. Let's pick up in about verse 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. Paul was getting a report of some divisions happening there, and he said, now I beseech you, brethren, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. For it has been declared unto me of you, my brethren, this is not to the unsaved. This is to the brethren. By them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, and here's what he was addressing. This I say that every one of you saith, here's what I'm hearing about, this is what you're saying. I am of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, I'm of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were ye baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in mine own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanus. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. What's the point here? Paul was addressing the church at Corinth. Say, I'm hearing that there's divisions among you. Here's what I'm hearing. Here was the issue he was addressing. He's saying, some of you are saying, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas. And he's addressing them and then talking about baptism. He's addressing them and he's saying, when you do that, you're really making the cross of none effect. In other words, what Paul was saying is, we are never to follow people here on earth. It's really what he was after. When we do, we make the cross of none effect. You know, it could be, I don't know, nobody told me. But you know, you have a number of people here that preach. You have a leadership team, you have a deacon, you have, I don't know for sure how the order or how often who preaches, and I don't need to know. But you have different gifts that are functioning. Now for some of you, you're going to enjoy one better than another, perhaps. Maybe you like their style better, or maybe you like the way they deliver things better. Now, that has its place. However, I also find that in churches where individuals will latch on to certain people on the leadership team, and they will go to that individual because they know that that person on the leadership team will agree with them. And they will try to get you to side with them and also try to get you between each other on the leadership team. That happens all the time. In fact, it is something that I believe, I don't know your leadership team that well, but I believe that they are praying against that, I hope. Because I deal with it in our home church, and I have people coming to me that they know I agree with them. What am I going to do? Am I going to just side with them and say, well, I know, you're right, but boy, I sure don't. That's what Paul was addressing. When we start going after people and following people because they're favorite, we like them better, or they agree with us, we make the cross of none effect. And when that spirit is present in a congregation, is there any wonder why God doesn't move? Yeah. We're never to follow people. Never to follow people. A few years ago, there was a leader of a very well-known ministry that made some mistakes. A ministry that we had gotten a lot of influence from over the years. And I'm not here to say all the accusations were true or false and some were right and some were wrong. That's not the point. The point is that this leader made some mistakes to the point where it was all around decided for that leader to step back from his director role. And through that whole thing, now my heart was very saddened when this happened. But yet, deep down in, I wasn't shaken by it. I was saddened by it, but I wasn't shaken by it. Well-meaning people who knew that we had been involved with this ministry some, and over the years, or got influence from them some, and like that, they would come to Ruth Ann and I, and they were like, What are you going to do? What's going to happen? Like they were all in disarray or disillusioned about this. And one day I was like, why are people so disillusioned about it? And I soon began to see what was happening. That there were many people that were following this man rather than God. I wasn't shaken because the principles that were taught from the Word, that doesn't change, that will forever stand because it's from this Word. People will let us down. If you look up to me this week so much, and you elevate me so much, where I may say something one night that will just shatter you because you're following me rather than God. I've taught my children. I tried to teach my children all their growing up years. You know, we go to this function. We go to that function. We get this influence. We get that influence. But always remember, it's only a tool to drive us closer to the cross. We should never follow people here. Yeah, we are to influence each other. You influence me, I influence you. That's okay. However, I think I told you this on Sunday. If you're drawn more to me or my family than to God, we've not done our job. We've not done our job. That's what Paul was addressing. Well, Dana's my man. No, Tom's my man. No, Harold is my man. No, Sheldon's my man. No, Lynn is my man. Make the cross none effect. No. We're not to follow these men. They influence us. They protect. They encourage. They persuade. But you know, this morning I was so blessed. We were having our family devotions, and my oldest son had asked him to just lead out this morning. And he went to the book of Titus, and he was talking about the qualifications of a bishop or an elder there in Titus chapter 1. So you know, God has been speaking to him. And looking at those qualifications, and what God was speaking to him about was, you know, even though that's specifically addressing leaders and leadership, rightfully so, but he said, really, all of us should live that way. I was like, yes, yeah. Every one of us, while we come, your preachers, they pray and they discern and all of that. This week, you expect Holy Spirit-filled preaching. You know what I expect? Holy Spirit filled listening. Yeah. 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 But unless we say, Lord, get me off the porch, take me behind the veil, we just remain where we are. We just stay there. Stay there. God wants to shake us. Make us more like He is. We're saying, porch. Feels good out here. Gonna stay here, Lord. Gonna hang on to this. Hang on to that. God says, okay, you can do that. You can do that. We can choose that. But it's not the abundant life that He expects us to have. Lord, help us. On the porch, there are so many plans and agendas that happen. But behind the veil, our will becomes broken. How many of you enjoy eating popcorn? Anybody? Popcorn. You enjoy eating popcorn? You love it. Okay. Now, let me instruct you a little bit there, young lady. We are to enjoy popcorn but love Jesus. Like, just don't love popcorn more than Jesus is what I'm trying to say. I know you don't. Bless your heart. I know you don't. We enjoy eating popcorn. Now, when you eat popcorn, did you ever think about how popcorn pops? How does popcorn pop? What happens? How does popcorn pop? Heat. Now, there are several ways to make popcorn. One of those ways, you know, you have, well, microwave. I mean, it's an option. Yeah, it's an option. Let's just leave it at that. Another way to make it is, you know, you have the kind of the traditional, I call it the old-fashioned, you know, kettle type with the little knob on top and you twist that thing and all that. Or a similar container, but you have a little crank on the side, or you have that option. And then my favorite is a stir crazy. It's the least amount of work you need to do with those, right? Before you can have popcorn. But in either case, you kind of go through the same procedure. So for the sake of not getting confused, let's use the stir crazy. Now, by the way, this is not a cooking class. I am leading up to something. But you have the stir crazy, you plug it in, and that little wire thing starts going around. On the inside of this is a heating element. Then you pour your coconut oil or canola oil or whatever oil, peanut oil that you want to use. And you pour it on there, and then it heats up and it heats up. Eventually, after a time, you pour a cup of popcorn. Hard kernels, these small little things. And you pour it on there, and this wire, it keeps going and it keeps going. And all of a sudden, it starts pop, 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 pop. All over on the inside of that thing. How does that happen? Does it just all of a sudden just happen? What is on the inside of this little kernel? Moisture. Yeah. So you put these, this is a hard shell. And on the inside of this hard shell, there is moisture. When this hard shell is put into a very hot environment, it is put into this hot oil, and all of a sudden what really makes that hard shell pop is the moisture on the inside is heated up to the point where that moisture turns into vapor. And when that moisture turns into vapor, there is so much pressure coming from the inside where it will just pop that hard shell because it has been put into an environment that heats it up from the inside out. Now you know where we're going with this. See, on the porch, we live from the outside in. And bad things happen to us, or circumstances don't go our way. That outer shell becomes harder and harder and harder. And we get hurt. People mistreat us. People hurt us. And that outer shell gets harder and harder and harder. Because on the porch, we live from the outside in instead of from the inside out. But when we say, Lord, get me off the porch, take me behind the veil, then we are strengthened by the Holy Spirit in our inner man. And we live from the inside out. Why? Because we are put into an environment. Yes! An environment, the very presence of God that causes us to live from the inside out, and that outer shell becomes. And when we pop, there's more than before. Yeah. Do you ever try to eat unpopped popcorn? It's not very pleasant. It's very hard on your teeth. One day, the Lord gave me this picture of the church. I just had a vision of just a church full of people. And I was thinking about this illustration. It's like the Lord was saying, so many unpopped Christians. Unpopped Christians. Sitting on the porch. And I was like, Lord, how do we pop them? The Lord said, get behind the veil. Get off the porch. Yeah. About that time, I saw these people just pop, 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 all over the church. I said, yes, Lord, popcorn Christianity. Yeah. That's what happens when we say, Lord, get us behind the veil. Our root system will go deeper and deeper and deeper where we're able to stand tall in the kingdom of God. Not only that, but He will pop us from the inside out, and that hard outer shell will become broken. Yes, that's what happens behind the veil. That's what happens behind the veil. In a moment tonight, when the invitation is given, this is the invitation tonight. Lord, get me off the porch. Take me into the presence of God I'm willing to go there. But I'll say this. Make sure you're ready to go there. Yeah. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. You live there. You live in the presence of God. You know what it's like to be behind the veil. Because you're not scared of the presence of God. Therein, like we talked last night, therein you worship Him. Therein, you're okay being in the presence of God. Because He's changing us. He's ministering to us from the inside out. He's encouraging us. He's convicting us. He's giving us grace to repent and to surrender. We live there. Yes, you know what it's like. Then there's some. What? I am okay on the porch. May I say tonight, no, you're not. This happens occasionally where a pastor, where we are at for meetings, will ask me, what do you sense in our congregation? I don't like that question because it puts me in a very hard spot. But I know what he means. Now, I said that so none of you ask me. No, that's not why. That's not why at all. I understand the question. And the reason they ask me is, I don't know anything about people often when we get in a church. And I love it. I love it. I told the leadership team last night, many times, and I didn't sense it here, but over the years, many times I could tell that pastors just want to tell me everything that's going on in their church. In fact, if they start, I will stop them. Because I do not want to know. I do not want to know. Because it gives me, when I know stuff about people, then I have to pray through that even just to prepare messages. Because I'm much better off. I don't know that. So it gives me a tremendous freedom. I can just preach what God gives me. And I don't have an agenda. I don't have hidden. So I know that's why they have, because I'm neutral. I'm from the outside. What do you sense in our church? And there's times when I can joyfully say, you know what? I really sense the Spirit of God in this place, and I love what I sense in this place. But often, that's not what I sense. In fact, a very good friend of mine asked me that, a good pastor friend, large congregation, a time ago, and he said, and often what they will say on top of that, now I want you to be honest. And I said, well, to my friend, I said, well, I will be honest with you. I said, here's what I sense. I sense a spirit of, I called it a spirit of okayness. Okayness. Okayness meaning people are just okay with where we're at. Which is really the porch life. Now, I also believe that Hebrews talks about coming to a place of rest in God. Where we have our identity in Christ. We know where we are with God. We know where we're walking with God. That has its place. But what I mean by the okayness is just, we know we're not okay, but we say we are okay. That's the point. Which really happens on the porch. Where we say, well, just don't get too radical. Or don't get too carried away with this Christian stuff. You know, if it's done in the Holy Spirit, we'll never go too far. You all breathing out there? Maybe one night we'll talk about that. I don't mind being crazy for Jesus. If it's done, and I know that's a different term to use, but you know what we mean. We can never go too deep, too far with the Holy One. If it's done in the Holy Spirit, He will not take us down the wrong road. We become satisfied just sitting on the porch. Yeah, that's where I'm in charge. I'm still hanging on to this. Feels comfortable. Feels good. It's okay. But the invitation tonight is, Lord, would You get me off the porch? Take me off the porch. You say, well, how do I get into the presence of God? Sometimes people, how do I get in the presence of God? I'll tell you how I do it. You can probably have, I just simply ask the Lord. I say, Lord, take me there. just take me there. Lord, I don't want to sit out here. I don't want to sit on the outskirts. I don't want to sit on the outer courts. But Lord, I want to go where you are. I want to get into the presence of God, where the light of Christ, where the very anointing of the power of holiness will flow. I want to go there, Lord. Take me there. Get me off the porch. Don't let me get too comfortable in my own ways, in my own things. But shake me loose. Get me off the porch and take me right into your presence where I compare my life with you. And I say, oh God, break my will. Not my will, it's your will. Take me, Lord. Can we stand together? Tonight, Lord, you want to, I believe for some of us, you want to pop us. Lord, you want to take us off the porch and you want to pop us. Lord, I pray tonight, I believe there are many here who are already popped and who are staying popped. And are saying, yes, I welcome you to take me right into your presence, right in behind the veil where you are, so to speak. Because that curtain is still apart today. But Lord, tonight if we're sitting on the porch, it may feel good, it may feel comfortable, it may feel okay. But Lord, we know that you want to take us deeper, where our root system goes deep, where all the props of my life are broken away. Behind the veil in your presence, my root system in you, Jesus. Because that's like fertilizer. It's like nourishment to the life of Christ within us. Take me off the porch and take me into your presence and pop me. Thank you, Lord, that you desire us. That you desire for us to get off the porch. I pray against the spirit of fear in any way, shape, or form. We would just come to say, oh God, take me there. Take me there. So right now, if you sense the drawing of the Holy Spirit, you sense the sweetness of the Holy Spirit, just gently drawing you. Maybe for some it may seem harshly. But Lord, when you sense, we sense the Holy Spirit drawing us, just right now, you say, Lord, I'm willing to let you take me off the porch and take me behind the veil. Would you step out and come to me? Just step out and come. If there's anyone. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I love you so much. Oh, Lord. clean, your heart is pure. Sisters, to come and just stand with these ones who are praying here. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, anyone else who still want to come, this is still open. Yes, Lord Jesus. Break our hearts with what breaks your heart, Lord. Break our hearts with what breaks your heart, Lord. Oh, yes, Father. Let's all be in the spirit of prayer. Father, I thank you tonight for the veil that is torn, the veil that is ripped, the veil that is still apart. Lord, I pray tonight that you grant us your grace, your strength. Your Spirit would continue to take us not only tonight, but Lord, in the days ahead, to keep us behind the veil, to get us off the porch, keep us off the porch. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Spirit, do your ministry. Do your ministry, Lord, in Jesus' name. Yes. 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 Sense right now the Holy Spirit is doing a ministry not only here at the altar, but I believe there's some ministry going on in the pews right now. Holy Spirit, I pray, Lord, you would draw that individual, that person. Just minister deeply to those hearts you're speaking to right now. Yes. Take us, Lord. so okay with that. Because Lord, you're doing some ministry in our hearts tonight that I believe is, for some hearts, it's very deep. It's very real. It's very real. I just pray, do it, Lord. Do it, Lord. Do it, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I sense right now we should just close. We're not going to sing a song. Just close in prayer, and we're going to prayerfully dismiss and just let happen here what needs to happen. Father, dismiss us with your blessing. Would you bring us back tomorrow night if you tarry? If we live, bring us back tomorrow night at the same time, at the same place. And would you prepare our hearts for it? In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. You are all dismissed very prayerfully, reverently. Maybe fellowship can move to the foyer. Would be great. God bless you. See you tomorrow night at 6:25.